Dear listener, we accept the fact that you have to sacrifice a whole hour to listen to whatever it is we're about to do wrong, and what we will do is wrong. You see us the way you want to see us, in the simplest of terms, in the most convenient definitions, but we found out that each one of us is a brain.
An athlete.
A princess.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Geek Movie Club.
Everybody, and welcome to the Geek Movie Club, episode 11. this is the podcast that likes to play with little plastic bricks.
I was wondering where you were going with it.
I'm David McVeigh.
I'm Richard Gray.
Spaceship.
And I'm Nicholas McVeigh.
Hello, Nicholas. How are you?
I am very good, thank you.
Yes, we have a guest in studio. We have my son, Nicholas McVeigh.
Interloper.
Who is also an avid brick filmer. So we thought we're going to talk about the Lego movie today.
We're talking about the Lego movie.
We are talking about the Lego movie.
I didn't know. I just walked into the studio.
And just by coincidence, we're talking about the Lego movie.
I thought we better bring in the Lego maestro himself if we were going to talk about this.
Master Builder.
We all saw the Lego movie today.
The foremost purveyor of interlocking brick art.
But you bought it at a toy store.
The recommended ages are 8 to 14.
It's just a recommendation.
And there's you out the back, Dave, and he can't touch your Legos, can he?
Mine's locked in the garage.
No, I do have actually noticed an interesting dynamic between David and Nicholas here. It's kind of like, yeah, I got, you know, they get the little blind packets. It's like, yeah, I got that one. That's mine. And it's like, I'll buy it off you.
Yeah, can I point out that you're actually talking about my son would say, you can buy it off me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I said, you've got two of those. Can I have it? He goes, yeah, can pay me.
Yep, I charge.
As I said, the dark purveyor of the locking brick
art. So yes, we are going to talk about the Lego movie today, which we all saw. You guys are going to give us a very brief and spoiler-free quick review of
Richard,
Captain America.
We have two people here now that we can't spoil it for.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Because we're going to be talking about Captain America, Age of Ultron. No, sorry, Captain America,
The Winter Soldier.
Other than you. I have to wait 3 weeks till this movie comes out.
Yes, that's right, because we're special. But also, I might throw in a couple of comments on. You. I saw, I should mention really quickly, so I don't have to talk about it at length later. I saw Grand Budapest Hotel as well.
Okay.
And I also saw The Raid 2.
Ah, I'm very curious to hear about that. Yeah. Yes.
And of course, I think there might be a little bit of Doctor Who.
And there might be a little bit of Doctor Who. Do we have any other news stories that happened this week?
Look, because we have so many films we saw this week, I didn't even bother collecting.
That sounds fair to me. We are actually, as we say, we try and aim this show for half an hour. It usually blows out to 45, but we try for half an hour.
An hour.
And we'll see how we go.
And so, in the words of...
You try, but you may not succeed.
Well, in the words of Bob, I think it was Bart Simpson, Bartholomew J. Simpson. I can't promise I'll try, but I'll try to try.
All right, so I think without further ado, then we should get into what we've been watching. Yeah?
Yeah, and we would. And you know what would have been really good if I actually had my soundboard queued up?
That would be really, really
handy. But
now
that I do, just off the top of my head, why don't we get into what we've been watching?
Okay.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
It's a tight ship, isn't it?
It's a fantastically tight ship. Can I also state that we may have a new theme soon?
Really?
So we get into what we've been watching, we've got
so we're not going to be talking about movies anymore?
Oh, no, we don't talk about movies.
Not
that kind of thing.
This week on Behind the Panels.
Musical theme.
Bachelor of Arts student here.
Musical theme. I have a friend who's a very gifted musician, Adrian Dabianco, who is actually working on a theme for GMC. And we actually got a little bit of a sample of it. Maybe before the end of the show, I might even tease a little bit.
No, don't spoil it for the audience.
Okay, I won't spoil
it. Wait till we get the full majesty of it.
The full majesty. And the full majesty should be in a couple of episodes' time. So, so am I. It's sounding pretty good. So it's kind of jiving. It's kind of there. It'll get
just like us. Kind of jiving, getting there.
Not quite there, though.
Not quite there. We'll never be quite
You're
there.
Not a Jedi
it still
yet.
It might be a couple of weeks before we even record. So maybe it'll be on the next episode.
That's true.
Before we kick into the Lego movie, let's talk about a few of the smaller things. That way we can get those out of the way. Dave, have you seen anything this week?
Besides Cap 2 and Lego, no.
Okay, so we'll save the Cap 2 for a minute. Tell us about Grand Budapest.
I saw Grand Budapest Hotel, which is Wes Anderson's new film. If you're familiar with Wes Anderson's films, It's fair to say he's got a bit of a thing.
I'd like to point out that even Nicholas has seen a Wes Anderson film. You saw Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I actually saw for the first time this week. I'd never seen it before.
It's a great
which,
film.
But I loved it. Loved it to death. It's cussing good.
It's cussing good.
But it's... look, Grand Budapest Hotel, I'm going to say the same thing about Cap, which I think it's his best to date. In a lot of ways... It doesn't do anything terribly different to what the other Wes Anderson films have done. It's got that same visual aesthetic, except he changes. There's three different time periods, and he uses a different aspect ratio for each one, which is
cool.
It's got that.
Wondered about that during the trailers, actually.
Yes. And it changes so that they have no secret of the fact that he's doing this. It's really well acted. It's got the same cast of characters that you've seen. Probably all of them are in there, except for Luke Wilson, who seems to have disappeared from the repertoire.
Odd because he's always there
from the company. And it is exactly what you expect from a Wes Anderson film. It's quirky. It's funny. It's look. Let's face it. He is a bit of a wanker, but in the best possible way. He's very pretentious. I think is the word that I'm looking for, but very consciously
but so great.
But so great. But that's the thing. Is like he's allowed to be because that's his thing. That's his style.
Also, he balances it really nicely with a really clever sense of humor.
Pretentious has got a negative connotation, yeah. But it's not necessarily a bad thing because he knows film, he knows the cinema language, and he uses it so powerfully.
And I say, he's got a wicked sense of humor.
And as I said, this film has actually got the same wicked sense of humor and the same whimsy, but it's also got the strongest thriller plot of all of them running through it. So it's actually held together a lot better, I think, than some of the other films. It's not just, oh, yep, here we are floating
around. Wes Anderson's kind of one of those things, isn't it? It's kind of like it's so auteur-driven that you're going to watch him more than you're going to watch a plot or a story.
You can see his hand. It's like, to a lesser extent, it's like even though Woody Allen never did films quite that heightened, you know, you knew when you were watching a Woody Allen picture.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you've got a certain language to it. In his case, it's a visual language. Speaking of visual languages, the other film I saw was The Raid 2. Now, David, you and I saw this, the first one, together.
I'm very curious to hear what you say, because you and I, neither of us actually liked The Raid 1.
We were the only two people in the world
in
who didn't
a sea
like
of
it.
People who liked it. And they all said, are we crazy?
I didn't like The Raid either.
Hey!
There's three of us.
All right, three of us.
I haven't seen The Raid.
I think you're actually, I don't think you'd be allowed into The Raid.
No. The Raid was like a video game. There were levels. There was a boss fight.
I liked it when it was called Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
They're basically,
when
yes.
When they remade it as Dredd a few years later. Yeah. The next year, in fact, I think. But we like it because it had a comic book cachet, right?
Yeah.
But
first Raid was a computer game. Well, it's like level up, we go up a floor, we get to the point where we fight a boss, we level up, we get to the next floor, we get a boss, we leveled up. And that was the entire extent of 2 hours.
I gotta say though, I am really excited to hear what he has to say about
please,
the Raid 2.
No, Raid
but
2.
Just because the first Raid, like, it was promoted as like a genre-breaking action movie. Well, then you saw it and it was like, the action's good.
Dude. I hated this film almost before I saw a frame of it because when it was being played at festivals, people going, oh my God, like there's one Twitter person said, The Raid 2 made me pregnant. And, you know, all this hyperbole. And this is actually the campaign Mad Men.
You know what I heard? I heard what? Best action movie film. Ever filmed.
Across the top of the Mad Men poster.
And I heard like stunt people died during it. The director almost got killed.
Best action movie ever. Now, okay,
and that got me excited, I got to say.
let me put this
out.
Of
course it did.
It did.
Stunt people dying gets Dave excited.
Because that's what I thought the first movie didn't have that it was promoted on.
Well, if death excites you, David.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
Then you're going to like The Raid 2. No, the thing about The Raid 2 is, it was overhyped. And that's why I kind of had to be very cautious going into this. Let me say up front, the action is pretty spectacular. It is an amazingly choreographed, really inventive action stuff, right?
That's what
think
I
about
hear.
How you felt
awesome.
When you first saw, like, you know, Police Story, the Jackie Chan stuff, and how amazing that was back in the 80s and the 90s. And that really gave you an idea of how different action could be if someone tried. This kind of does that, right? The bits linking it in between, it actually makes an effort to be more of a story-driven film this time around rather than just level-driven. And that works and doesn't work to a certain extent because it starts off as a prison film and some of that stuff's quite cool. And there's a spectacular sequence in prison. But then it becomes a different type of movie because there's like a rival Japanese gang. It sort of borrows a bit from Yakuza films as well. So there's a little bit of that in there which sort of elevates it, I think.
Which is what the first Raid was missing. It was missing a story.
Yeah.
So this sounds like it's actually
we're on
track
got that.
Now.
I find that some of the, actually funnily enough then, because of that, some of the extended action sequences took me away from the story and I wanted to get back into the story.
Interesting,
you know what I mean?
Interesting.
So, but the action, while it lasted, my God, it's brutal and it's good. And I've got to say, this is Massive improvement over the first one for me. Still not my favorite action film of all time. Certainly not my favorite action film of the week. That would have to go to the... if I could give... We'll talk about it in a minute.
We're going to come to that in just a second.
If I could give Captain America, The Winter Soldier, more than 5 stars, mm-hmm. I totally would.
But I can't wait till we get all get together and actually talk about it.
I want to see The Winter Soldier so badly. It looks so cool.
I think you might like it, Nicholas.
Really?
It says the guy that's wearing a t-shirt that's got Captain America, the Hulk, and Iron Man and Thor on it.
So Avengers.
I think the Age of Ultron. It's coming, people, whether you like it or not. But yeah, look, Raid 2, I think it didn't make me pregnant.
It did make you pregnant, but it is one worth watching.
But I did put on a few kilos.
It sounds like I'm going to be a little bit disappointed, though, because what disappointed me about Raid 1 was like that the action wasn't wall-to-wall.
Right. You wanted more action.
I wanted more action.
It's pretty action-oriented, though. There's not many seconds. It's long, though.
I'm sorry. Can we back that bus up a second? You didn't think there was enough action in the
raid?
No,
I didn't, because there was just like people like... I this is obviously radio, so I can't act it out in like an auditory way. You know? But it's like, just imagine like me shaking my fists at your fists that are shaking. And it's like, it's not that exciting. I want to see like Jackie, like Richard mentioned Jackie Chan. That got me so excited.
One of
like,
the things
like Project A, do you remember the flagpole?
Oh my God.
Like that's the action that I heard the raid had. Yeah, and then the raid was just like, oh, here's some knife fight.
I actually
like,
found the raid.
Cool, but like, move on.
Yeah, see, I found the raid so action packed. One of the complaints I had was when I came out. But when I came out from the raid, I said to Richard, I said, the problem is that the action was so much, it desensitized me completely to anything to come.
Yeah, that's the problem. Halfway through the raid, the first raid, I was like...
It's like, oh, another fight.
Are we there
yet? Because they weren't exciting and inventive. There was a bit of a fridge. Do you remember that? Where you're like, that's cool. That's what I want more of. But like, you
know, thing is, and
after a while, it's just like, okay, that guy's got a chain.
I don't
think... This guy doesn't have a chain.
Yeah.
They're gonna fight. Great.
I'll give the raid one scene. The best scene in the first raid had to be the scene where he's hiding in the wall alcove and the guy's putting the knife through the wall.
That's inventive.
And that was inventive. And that was probably, and that was actually tense. It was actually suspenseful.
Yeah.
And I sat there throughout that scene going, that is pretty clever.
I got to say, Raid 2 is exhausting because it goes for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Long for an action film.
Very long film. But sort of par for the course for Asian action films. Mm.
What these action movies need is set pieces, not just... Well, this is what shit blowing
has.
Up.
This is full of set pieces.
I think
pieces,
you and I have to go see Raid 2 together.
Totally.
Yeah, okay. We'll go see Raid 2 and we'll come back on you.
Okay.
Now, come on. Nicholas and I are going to take our headphones off and take a nap because these two are going to talk about Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
I think it's fair to say the worst Marvel film ever made. Now, look, if you've read my review on Behind the Panels,
but you don't like
I don't get it. In
movies.
The first one, he was in World War II. Now it's like he's in the modern day.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Because I didn't see The Avengers, so I haven't seen that before. Should I have caught up with that one before?
I think possibly yes.
Right, because I didn't understand a lot.
Who's this Nick Fury guy? Like,
who is he? And who's this Black Widow character? You know, but anyway, I don't know. And why is Peggy not around anymore? What's going on there? I have to say, though, look, you know, this is the 9th Marvel Cinematic Universe film, not including all the one-shots and whatnot. Honestly, and I can say this without any false hyperbole, Dave and I looked at each other at the end. We're like, that is the best Marvel film we have seen to date, and that's not bullshit.
And
like,
that's a big call after Iron Man 3 and
the Avengers,
Dark World.
Even, you know,
and the Avengers,
and the Avengers.
I mean, it's only early days, but I'd say it's the best movie I've seen.
Even though we're the
year,
only four people who liked Iron Man 3.
Look, you know, call me populist, call me mainstream if you want, but I'm going to agree with you. I think
when people
you populist mainstream person, you said to,
and you know what?
I think
that's
when
the
this
worst
comes,
that could happen.
No, like in all seriousness, like the movie that we watched was a very in depth. Like deep film.
Actually, comparing it to the raid, like I reckon the first 10 minutes of action in Cap 2 is on par with anything in the raid, probably exceeding it. And in fact, we joke about the body count in Cap. Like the amount of martial arts and hand-to-hand combat in Cap 2 is phenomenal. But the set piece action, like, you know, you talk about wanting proper set pieces. My God, they're good. But, you know, if you've...
Richard, you said it perfectly, actually, when we walked out. You said, I saw the Raid 2 last night.
Yeah.
And I felt that was some good action.
Yeah.
Now I've seen Captain America 2, and it makes the Raid 2 look like a child's film.
Yeah, it really did.
And that's not hyperbole.
Although, children, I wouldn't recommend that you go and see the Raid 2.
endorsing it.
We're not. Then we hardly endorse this product. No, but honestly, look, Cap 2, if you're familiar, it's kind of one of those films where you sort of need to know the rest of the story. Mm. You don't need to know the rest of the story, but you know, at this point, we're nine films in, you kind of...
Marvel has built this, so and you know, there are people who are going to say, oh, but you know, they're not standalone. Marvel has, from the very beginning, set out to build a universe.
Mm. And the thing that makes this movie work, from the get-go, we're seeing Captain America as Captain America on screen. It's the first time we've seen him as Captain America. We'd seen the origin story in the Second World War. We'd seen a kind of, you know...
And in Avengers, there's no time
when he's just
to breathe.
Thrown into, the fighting the Chitauri. And in this, he's finally Cap, just kicking ass Cap.
And what's awesome is, I totally agree. You get so much time spent with him as a man out of time.
Yeah.
You know, and coming to terms with what it's like being in the modern day. And it's so profound in parts. Like,
if you're familiar with the comics, it's Ed Brubaker's run with a whole lot of other stuff specific to the cinematic universe sprinkled in to make it, honestly, one of the most sprawling epics. And what Kevin Feige said, you know, it's bringing the Cold War thriller, that kind of spy thriller genre, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, actually giving us something we've not seen in a superhero film before, and taking it honestly. This, I know it sounds like I'm giving this damning it with faint praise, but I mean it's like with false praise. But it's like, yes, I'm a geek. I love this film, but. My God, it really does take it to another level, isn't it?
I could make, you know, like when the movie comes out, we'll have a. I can't wait for that conversation.
I can't wait for
our
spoiler-filled conversation.
Yeah,
we'll definitely do that.
Because, like, remember Skyfall, right? The James Bond film. Yeah. Like, people came.
I do remember that.
Yeah,
people came. Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. People came out of that thinking it was like,
but of course,
you know, incredible and like really deep and meaningful. Mm. Cap is way more.
Yeah, look, Cap is,
and that's something people won't really get.
It's
until
got
they see
like every film in the second phase of the Marvel films. It's got lots of character development in it. It's actually giving us more depth than they could give us in the first half. Like, you know, Iron Man 3 really progressed the Tony Stark character. Thor 2 gave us more of a look about Asgard and the relationship between the family here. This gives us more of a, as you said, the man out of time thing. Plus,
it's actually a very interesting point. We talked about this on panels very loosely, but there was a special on TV this week called Assembling a Universe,
which was
a fantastic special. And if you can see it, go out and grab it. And look, quite frankly, I don't think you're going to find it anywhere except for unless you go hit torrent sites and stuff at this point.
Yeah.
So, look.
Do ABC have it streaming on their website possibly?
I don't know. Do they?
Yeah, I haven't looked, but they might have
They
it
might. Okay,
there,
so
yeah.
if that's possible, you can have a look at that. Not everybody has access to American ABC, but you know, we'll see. You know,
No one wanted to make Iron Man.
No, nobody wanted to make Iron Man.
Can I ask? Sorry, guys, I'm a bit confused. What's a torrent?
Let's not be shy.
It does exist. It's like a lot of things coming at you at once.
How do I get this?
But if you can actually have a look at it, have a look at it. Because one of the things that Feige talks about, which I thought was fascinating, and it's to lead on from
and
what you were
it was great
just,
to actually hear his name pronounced.
Absolutely. But one of the things he talked about, which is leading on from exactly what you just said, which is he actually says, at the end of the day, Tony Stark gets to go home.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Thor goes back to Asgard. There is nowhere for Captain America to go to.
No.
He is lost.
He can't go back in time.
He can't go back in time. He is literally in this.
Until Brian Michael Bendis writes the story. And then it's all about time travel.
Ooh, comic dork reference. But that's right.
Nerd.
Save it for the other show.
But the bottom line is, and that's what makes Captain America kind of a compelling character, because he is... literally of a bygone era.
I like looking at you, Dave Longo.
I know, it's great.
I never sit across the... we've actually changed seats. I'm still... Well, David and I are still sitting...
We still have eye contact.
Yeah. But we've all checked to accommodate Nicholas in the studio.
Also, I'm naked at the moment.
And
I am.
So I'm staring straight at
it's
you.
It's audio. They don't know.
Is that what that is?
I find it weird to look
Get
at
that
you.
You're naked.
I find it weird to look at him because all I see is just his eyes.
But aren't
my Doctor Strange eyebrows working over here.
All right. So for those who are listening and who
you're naked,
any of this,
that won't make it
into
the real show, will it? This will all be edited out in post-production.
No, it won't really.
How about the Lego movie, yeah?
Let's talk about the Lego movie.
We've been ranting.
And through
long
it, because we're using a temporary soundboard because we're waiting for our Mackie to turn up tomorrow, through the miracle of post-production, here's a little taste of the trailer.
Good morning, apartment. Ready to start the day. Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three. I am so pumped up. Yes, overpriced coffee.
That's $37.
Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song. Everything is cool.
Come with me if you want to not die.
What is happening?
You're the special. And the prophecy states that you're the most important person in the universe. That's you, right?
Yes. That's me.
Relax, everybody. I'm here.
Batman? Awesome!
Who are you here to see?
I'm here to see your butt.
Oh my gosh.
And that will do quite enough for that, because without being able to see it...
Oh, my God, that's so amazing.
Wasn't that stunning? Without being able to see it, it loses a little bit of its charm. But what do we think? Come on. Nicholas, you're our guest. You've been waiting longer for this than any of us.
Yeah, it was really, 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 really awesome.
and that sums it up.
Because everything is awesome.
Would you say...
Yes.
Oops. Oh, hang on.
For the miracle of post-production.
I don't know what's happened here.
I don't know what's happened
either. This was queued up and ready to go, and it's just stopped.
So the joke didn't work.
Oh. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
Enough.
So including the trailer.
Quickly, everyone's wearing headphones but me, so during that segment, all I heard was just chairs.
Because everybody was dancing. So it's just like...
Can I just point out, though, that now with the trailer, that's twice we've heard that song. Yeah. And before the end of the show, you may hear it a third time, because in the movie, it is played ad nauseum. Yes. Over
it is
and over and over.
And
it never, ever, ever gets boring.
And do you know what the funny thing is? It is completely addictive. It's completely catchy. You cannot help but kind of bop along with it. It's scary.
It is.
And
is
even, scary. What's her name, Wild Style? Like, yes. Even at one point, she knew how to sing it.
Yeah, that's right. I like how he starts that, though, when he goes, they go, can you show us your ID? He goes,
yeah. Can I just play a bit of my favorite song from the film?
Sure.
Though?
Yes, this is real music. Dark, brooding, important. Groundbreaking. Check out the lyrics. Darkness. No parents. Continue darkness. More darkness. Get it?
That was Batman singing. You ever wanted to hear Batman the musical?
I love the finale of that song, though, when he finally goes, but I'm really rich and that helps.
now, Nicholas, we sort of interrupted you there, but like, okay, obviously the film, everything is awesome.
It was really good.
You, as a Lego filmmaker yourself,
yeah.
What did you think of the animation in there?
Oh, the animation's spectacular. But it's actually not actually stop motion, to break it to some people who thought it might have been.
Because they developed a new system to make, you know, brick motion look like stop motion, but it's actually digital, right?
Yeah, it's actually
digital,
yeah.
I did notice that they did cheat a little bit, because they actually have inward arm movement, which Lego figures don't have.
And the neck.
And the neck, that's right. So they kind of cheated a little bit just to make it
although,
to make
though,
that
I
work.
Just want to correct something, though. Like, there are apparently some of it is stop motion.
What's stop motion? As
they just haven't told us
what it is. What we're aware of, because Nicholas actually identified them in the film, they had a competition just before the film was made.
Which I couldn't enter.
Which he couldn't enter because he was too young, where they actually invited brick filmers to make an action sequence using an actual kit.
Because as the film points out, children should not play with Lego.
Basically. And the idea was that the winner would have their clip actually in the film. And what Nicholas found out by watching the film was that they used all of them.
I love that. Sorry, the irony of that film is that the message is like,
well, at least,
you know,
most of them,
everyone should, no matter what age you are, should get to play with Lego, but you can only enter our fan competition if you're an adult.
Yeah. Well, no. To be clear, you had to be over 15, and this is this whole internet thing.
But still, I mean,
yeah,
come on. You know,
because of the internet laws in America, which says that under 15-year-olds cannot submit data.
Yeah.
basically, they couldn't enter if you're under 15. Anyway, the bottom line is that during the big action sequence at the end, you know, there's a scene in the city where you see where you see the TV screens on the back.
Yeah.
And you see battles going on around the worlds. Those are all the Lego winners.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So those are stop motion. And those are actually by 15, 16, 17-year-old kids.
Or 20-year-olds.
Or 20-year-olds who have entered the competition.
They were all 45. They're all people
living
in their parents'
basement. They're all by me. All right. And so that's the stop motion. Yep, the rest of the film is CG. It's done by Animal Logic, who did...
really need a new ident. at the start of that film.
That was, yeah, that was
you're
terrible.
Thinking of millions of people who have seen that really dodgy ident.
And they go, what the hell is that? It just comes up. And it wasn't even in 3D. It's like, that was in 3D.
It's like,
and
something kicks in the 3D.
Yeah. What I thought was really fascinating about the CG work was it was brilliant CG downgraded to make it look like stop motion. But their particle simulators were
amazing,
phenomenal, with the idea of using Lego for everything from smoke to fire to water. And they basically used single brick elements in their particle simulators. So when they went over the ocean, that rippling wave of Lego was phenomenal.
Look, from an animation point of view, I think it was beautiful. One of the things, though, I found, because I was found it a little bit jarring, so I think for the first 10 minutes I had trouble getting into that style. And I think that kind of 48 frames. Yeah, it was like the first 10 minutes of The Hobbit, right?
Oh, I disagree. I was hooked on
but then
I was in straight away too.
No, but then it, and the first 10 minutes, so I think it's also setting up that world, and then it just brings the crazy and doesn't stop.
Do you know what? I'm a little bit with you, Richard. I was actually a little bit not into the film straight away because we had this discussion on a few shows ago where we talked about title drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were waiting for a title.
I was waiting for the film. Lego I was waiting for the film to start. Yeah. And the film starts so abruptly. You get this weird animal logic identity card. And then the film just kind of goes through this fire pit. And then suddenly we're in this scene. And I'm going, okay, so what we're going to do is have a little hiccup. And then it's going to go to the Lego movie. And then we're going to be in Lego City. No, we just go straight into Lego City. And we literally never started the film. It just kind of rolled in. And I found myself kind of going, where are we exactly? And it was about 10 minutes into the film. Once we got into Lego City and he's doing the whole, let me get the instruction books and let me have my shower, and I was in. But that whole intro scene was so oddly out of place.
It did, and it really feels out of, it feels different to the rest of the film.
Yeah.
But then, because the rest of the film is just...
I'm sorry.
No, because the rest of the film is so batshit crazy. Like, you know, everything from...
And
you know,
I love the
that
actually,
song that we
I,
just played where he's going, yeah, I've written a song. It's about having no parents.
Yeah.
You know?
But I love the fact that everything
like,
just
it's my
happens.
Boyfriend. It's my boyfriend. Yeah. You don't know who she's talking about.
I just love the fact that everything just kind of happens. Yeah. And it's actually one of the things I love. And I don't want to spoil the ending, but... when you finally kind of find it,
2 months in the States, we can spoil.
But the Australians
they gave us a Blu-ray today when we walked in.
I think it's actually out in about 2 weeks in the States.
Oh, I might have to buy a copy from the States. Anyway, what I think was
what's a torrent.
Borrow it from the internet. What I thought was really interesting.
Hey,
though,
we got to see it for free
hang
today.
Hang on. Let me finish this point.
We got merchandise.
I got a keychain. What I thought was really fascinating was when you actually find out kind of the structure of what's going on, it makes sense, this fractured kind of world that it is. And so by the end of it, it makes sense that things just kind of pop in or things just happen or they're suddenly just in a different place.
The things popping in was never my problem. I wanted more of that in the first 10 minutes. Look, don't get me wrong. I actually love this film. I thought it was so much fun. It just took me, there was that first initial kind of like, oh, and then, you know, by the end of it, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the chosen one. It wasn't the master builder film that I thought it was going to be. You know, I had my doubts. Like
no, it was The Matrix.
You know, come with me if you want to not die.
It was basically
The
Matrix,
including
being able to see things by serial number.
It was The Matrix.
It was The Matrix, and maybe like I know it's a parody and all that sort of stuff.
One.
Maybe that's the problem because at its essence, it is basically a very, very simple hero's journey film, which is a commercial for Lego.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not beat around
it's
the
bush. It's an hour and a half commercial
for
Lego.
It is an hour and a half commercial for Lego, which I have no problem with because I buy Lego. Right?
Yeah, I buy Lego.
But that's let's not beat around the bush. This is what the film is.
It is there to sell more Lego. But I think what we've got is a film that in the hands of Miller and Lord basically ended up with a great sense of humor. Yeah. And I think if Lego, we've seen enough straight-to-video Lego movies produced by Lego to know that they don't have that sense of humor.
They're not that great.
They try, they become cutesy, they do whatever. Lord and Miller said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this so that adults will get just as much out of it as kids will, and we're going to have a blast doing
tip
it.
Tip of the hat to them.
Yeah, like, and I think that, I mean, these are the guys who brought us The First Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which was brilliant. They brought 21 Jump Street, which was a great comedy, you know, and you sit there and go, these guys can do no wrong. Mm. You know, at this point, they have been able to do no wrong.
Yeah, so, and you know, the 21 Jump Street team were in there with Channing
Tatum,
Superman,
and Superman. Green Lantern.
Yeah, great relationship.
Can somebody just get me some kryptonite?
Hey, we're roomies.
And there's some great stuff. Like, you know, lots of visual gags in there. Lots of, like, particularly though, I think, Nicholas, you as a Lego fan, probably would have picked up, like, I mean, I picked up a few things in there, like minifigs I've got and things.
What about
the
Simpsons house?
Yeah. Like,
I didn't see the Simpsons house.
Wasn't it the house on the highway?
I saw
a Milhouse.
Yeah, I saw Milhouse.
Yeah. I thought that was the Simpsons. Maybe I'm wrong because I was looking at Richard's Simpsons
house. Oh, I didn't see it.
Like, I bought that house that they
crashed into.
You see,
he's holding the phone up like this. The picture of the house was sitting.
There's
so many references.
There's so many references in there to sit. I mean, there was a cameo. Everyone probably knows it. There's Star Wars characters in there. Ooh. There's Lord of the Rings characters. There's lots of DC.
There's a Harry Potter character.
There's a Harry Potter character. There is a Lord of the Rings character. Well, I thought it was great. Look, Star Wars characters, some of the voice.
And 80s spaceman.
As far as I'm concerned, every scene there were cameos because I'm a Lego boy too.
Yeah.
You know, and like I still buy and collect Lego.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like we all do at this table. Yeah. But for me, like every single scene was a cameo from a Lego set that I had.
You know that meme that's on...
They even had the flash in one part of it.
Yeah. It's just a blink and you'll miss it, but they were there. Like,
and can I point out that Nicholas made, and you can go to his channel, youtube.com/NickyMcVeigh, and watch it if you want to. It's actually an award winner. He made a short film called The Chicken Wing Stand, which has got a little guy selling chicken wings. And as soon as the construction workers come out and go, "Who wants a chicken wing?" I immediately started laughing. I mean, there's the chicken wings.
I really think it's a movie.
I don't think they saw that video.
No, I don't think they did either. But I think it's so funny that that's such a ubiquitous thing.
That we all
just go, "Oh, there's a chicken wing guy." You know,
you know that meme that's been floating around for years since Lord of the Rings. You know, one does not simply walk into walk into Mordor, and everyone's got, like, you know, one does not simply think. I actually saw one the other day. It was like, one does not simply grow out of Lego. You know, and it's true. I don't think there's any point. I mean, I know a lot of people who still collect Lego, who still buy Lego, because it is, as one of the messages of the film is, you never lose it. No matter what age you are, there's a joy in Lego, and it is these interconnecting blocks somehow keep bringing us back. And I'm sitting in a room here, we're surrounded by various minifigs and a 15-year-old who makes films next to us, and you know the recommended age is 8 to 14.
8 to 14. Actually, he's 14 still, so he's
still
all right.
14. Yeah. So we've all, you know, outgrown Lego technically, according to the box, but
we're still building. Yeah.
I think we called it on a couple of episodes back. Lego was the best thing ever, right?
Yeah. Just ask Christy Mack. Anyway,
she had to pull out of that offer.
Really? Is that the word you really want to use for that?
That was chosen
with
by
the crackle.
Cable, actually, release the crackle.
I have the piece of resistance.
Yeah. What was it liquid they kept spurting out in the film that was sticking everything together? Oh,
we have a miner in the room. Come on.
We do?
That was why.
Yes, what are we digging for? Gold.
All right, so let's go around and let's say out of how many little glass studs would you give the Lego Movie?
Five.
Glass studs.
Out of what?
Out of five. Okay. How many glass studs would you give it?
Well, you can't saw a stud in half, can you?
No. So. Oh, you can use those little half corner pieces, though. You can use a quarter noodle.
Customizing it.
Okay. How many quarter noodles would you give?
I will give it three studs and a noodle.
Three studs and a noodle, okay.
I'm giving it a perfect five. I can't fault it.
From
opening to end credits.
It is the best Lego Movie we have.
I think it's the best Lego Movie
we'll ever have.
And it's the Lego Movie we deserve.
Well, don't forget about the 2017 sequel.
Yeah, but just little things, seeing the pieces. Yeah.
You know. Can I just say that there is
can we just mention Chris Pratt as well?
I was coming back to that in 1 minute. Let me just say, quickly, I'm going to give it four studs and a noodle because I quite liked it. And yes, I wanted to come back to Chris Pratt because is this Chris Pratt's year or what?
Yeah, he's got Guardians of the Galaxy and he's got this as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a man who up until 5 months ago, 6 months ago, I had no knowledge of.
Can I qualify my three studs and a noodle by saying that there is an abrupt shift in the film about three quarters of the way through, which I did not expect. Yeah. None of the reviews I've read have spoken about it.
No, and we're not going to talk about it either.
We're not going to talk about it. And I'm still not sure how I feel about that abrupt shift. And I don't think it works and I don't think it was necessary for the message of the film. And even though it's nice and it's sweet, and maybe I'll appreciate it more in a second viewing, that's my problem with the film. Most
we agreed. What we should do is come back, like, because we're all going to watch it again.
Yeah,
you can't improve, Mark.
Maybe it'll go down.
Well, maybe it'll go down. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you'll find it. Yes.
Will it hold up to a second viewing? That's the challenge.
But I don't know, because that's the thing. It's like I can't chop it down though for the joy that it gave me up until that point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit like how you felt out of the Muppet movie. Remember how?
Which Muppet? The
Muppet movie.
The first Muppet. The first. Remember the first. Revived
the first revived Muppet. Remember that sense of sheer joy that you had when you came out of it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's what these two have experienced. Yeah, no, that sheer joy.
And I get why, but they're I don't know, for some reason, it's just...
I'd like to see it again.
But don't get me wrong, man. I had so much fun, and I was laughing louder than I've laughed.
I laughed a lot in this film. I really did.
Yeah, I did too. Like, all the way through it, I was like laughing.
And this is not one just for kids. This is the adults are going to get just as much out of it.
I think the adults laugh more than the kids.
I think they did.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't 10 o'clock at night, I'd probably give this four studs. There's four studs in this room, in fact.
Hey,
I bet there's three studs and a noodle.
Three studs and a noodle? Four studs and a noodle. The reason we say quarter noodles, we found out the name of some of these parts, which we never knew before. And you're giving it five, and you're giving it five. Okay.
Yes.
Chris Pratt, who was actually aware of Chris Pratt prior to this year?
I saw ads for Parks and Recreation.
I've been watching Parks and Rec from the beginning.
See, I've never seen Parks and Rec.
I became aware of Chris Pratt when they first announced Guardians.
Right.
And I knew of Parks and Rec, and people have been telling me about it.
Yeah,
I don't particularly like it. I don't find it that funny, but I like Chris Pratt.
I was a big Office guy. And so,
in The Office too?
No, he wasn't, but Parks and Rec originally was planned as a spin-off from The Office, so I jumped in at that point. Yeah, but he was just always Andy, the fat guy from The Office.
And then they
like he wasn't Chris Pratt. You
then
know,
they took
like,
him and buffed him up for Guardians.
Yeah.
And
he was
and
hilarious.
He's done the voice
he is hilarious.
Of Emmett, and he is fabulous as Emmett.
What he does as Emmett is actually what he does on Parks and Rec. Pretty much the same kind of thing.
I've definitely got to have a look at.
He's
Parks
just a normal regular guy.
He plays the voice of Emmett well.
So well.
Yeah. Yeah, I really believed he was a nobody.
Yeah, but it's like, who can you imagine how hard it is to capture that, though?
Yeah.
Your direction is like you are completely empty-headed, but yet you know everything.
Mm. Oh, and can
like,
I,
that balance is like...
And can we talk about that scene very quickly where they go into Emmett's mind? And it says nothing.
It's like, my mind's so big, I must be smart.
Morgan Freeman's kind of like, you know, people work years to achieve this kind of, you know, to empty their minds to achieve enlightenment.
You've got such a head start.
But you had nothing to empty. You know?
Yeah, I just, that scene is just lovely. Because I just love how Chris Pratt's kind of floating around like, hey, look at this. Mm.
The abrupt shift that
I talked about. The double-decker couch.
The abrupt shift that I talked about is kind of hinted at there when they start talking about the man upstairs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I should have seen it coming, but, and I got to say, all credit to the film, the shift is a surprise.
Yeah. At that point, there was a few other hints as well. I kind of felt that that's where they were going. I just didn't know they were going to do it the way they did it.
Yeah.
I think that was the bigger issue.
Yeah, totally. It's one of those things where you kind of get to the end of it and you're like, I could have done without that.
Yeah.
You're like, the point is already made.
But
it worked well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, though,
like, but that's kind of the second time round. It might be completely out of place.
So we'll wait till the second viewing and we'll have a look at what you were going
to
say.
Oh, and, I was about to say something that might have spoiled it. So
okay,
so
we won't give any spoilers at this point.
Mouth closed.
Do go see it. Yeah. It is well worth having a look at and you will have a good time.
If you're listening in America, you've probably seen about 50 times.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Anywhere in the world that's not Australia. And hasn't had to wait.
Mm-hmm. We had to wait 2 months.
They were holding it back so they could put it straight up against Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because that's smart.
Well done.
But we get Cap first, so that's
the
it.
Eskimos liked it,
too. Yeah, by a day.
Yeah. It was the number one film in Lapland for 4 weeks, you know.
All right, so before we wrap this puppy up for tonight and close this clubhouse down, do you want to give us a quick rundown of where you guys are up to? Because you're both doing it now. You're both up to in Doctor Who?
You mean a bit of this?
BBC One. Now, here's Doctor Who.
My marathon's going full Borg at the moment. I've got a couple of things
I want
to
say. Full Borg?
I'm serious.
Resistance is futile.
am I watching the wrong show?
I think you might be.
I'm up to the Kate Mulgrew. I'm up to the bald doctor.
And he thought...
with the bearded side.
Who goes, make it so?
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm not the merry man.
Oh, can you imagine Patrick Stewart as the doctor?
Oh, dude.
No. Number one.
I mean...
Wibbly wobbly tiny wimey.
and his companion Worf.
I'm not a merry man.
Who's always
his
wrong.
His wife, Ian McKellen.
Yes.
He's always wrong.
As we reported out last week, I don't know if we mentioned this on the show last week, there's this video floating around the net where Worf is always wrong.
It's very funny.
It's like 15 minutes of Worf getting shot down. I am up to, believe this or not, I have ploughed through the Colin Baker years, which means I finally don't have to watch any more Colin Baker episodes.
And I remember when you started Colin Baker, you actually went... Oh, he's not so bad.
Yeah, you could probably listen to that on air. Yeah, yeah. No, every week it gets...
Cover your ears, Nicholas, because I want to basically sum up my thoughts on the Jonathan Nathan Turner years with the thoughts, from the words of the current Doctor.
Oh, well, that's easy. Tucker's Law. If some cunt can fuck something up, that cunt will pick the worst possible time to fucking fuck it up because that cunt's a cunt. I've got that embroidered on a tea towel.
Yeah. More importantly, JNT just completely fucked up this era. He tried to make it into something that it was not. He tried to.
Nicholas
turn it
left
into
the room during that moment. Okay,
yes, so there was no.
Don't ride in.
I'm back.
We turned his headphones down so we couldn't hear that. But he just hear me saying that Jonathan Nathan Turner fucked it up.
Oh, that's okay. He is worse for me. That's fine.
Because he's a cunt. But,
two faps for Falcon.
Oh, man, I have child services at my door.
It's your door, dude, not mine. I might get child service at the door for playing the next clip, which is... basically, during this era, the Doctor Who went on, during the middle of... Colin Baker only had two seasons. Between the first and second season, they went on an 18-month hiatus. To retool the show, to rework it out. The original 23rd season got dropped and reworked as The Trail of a Time Lord. So all these episodes that were meant to be made just didn't happen. And they'd been written, the scripts were finished, they were ready to roll. But then
this is for Colin Baker,
this
right?
This is Colin Baker. They scrapped
the thank
whole
God
thing.
They didn't get made, yeah.
No. They looked like good episodes, but then they came back with Trail of a Time Lord, which was a whole season of Colin Baker episodes where he was being put on trial and they offered up the episodes as evidence.
Ah, okay.
Which just wasn't a bad idea. And it sort of ends well, and it's where the whole concept of the Valyard, which is the evil...
That sounds like the Star Trek original series.
Yeah, a little bit, but like it comes out...
They repurposed the pilot?
Right. It became the menagerie. Yeah, but they didn't. This wasn't actually a repurposed pilot. This was actually completely new episodes, reshot entirely. But they had this sort of framing device of the trial. And it ends with like the Valyard, who's meant to be this evil regeneration of the Doctor between his 12th and final... regenerations, and they'd never touched on that concept again, which is a real shame. I think they've sort of now said, no, he managed to avert himself from ever becoming the Valyard. But it was a really interesting. But during this era, before we get to Sylvester McCoy, but during this era, fans got together to try and save the Doctor. They were talking about the fact that there was an 18-month hiatus, and they released a charity music video getting in past people associated with... the Doctor and some of the actors. It was terrible. It's kind of like a We Are the World style video. And I've got a bit of it here if you want to have a listen.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it gets worse. I think they're bringing...
Was it saying Doctor in Distress?
I thought it says Doctor Who Sucks.
No. The lyrics were something like 18 months is too long to wait. Bring back the Doctor, don't hesitate. It was a cold, wet night in November 22 years ago. There was a police box in a junkyard. We didn't know where it would go. And it goes on like that. And then so it's Doctor in Distress. Let's all answer his SOS. Doctor in Distress. Bring him back now. We won't take less.
Oh, my God.
And then it is. And later, I think at one point, the actress who plays Perry is singing at one point, and it's really not her strength.
No.
Her strength was wearing
low-cut tops.
Yeah. So that was kind of not the best part, but that's hilarious. I mean, that's 1985 charity music video. It's We Are the World, We Are the Children.
That's terrible.
But then Sylvester McCoy era. I finished the first Sylvester McCoy season. It's getting better.
Sylvester McCoy is just charming, though. I mean, he's great in The Hobbit, too.
They've introduced Ace at the moment, and she's kind of like what Clara would ultimately become.
Right.
How many seasons do they do?
They did 26 seasons. I have two full seasons left of the original series plus the movie, and then I'm going to start listening to a bit of the Paul McGann audio.
Sylvester McCoy is the last Doctor...
Official Doctor,
before McGann, right?
Yeah, well, McGann only had one movie and then a bunch of audio stuff.
Yeah.
So of the original 26-year run, with that 18-month...
Can you actually... While we're on the topic of it, can you explain to me what the Shaka... I think that's... Is that what it's called? The Shaka?
Yeah, the... was a an episode that was meant to be at the end of one of Tom Baker's seasons, and it never got finished because of a strike at the BBC, and they chose not to finish it off and come back to it, and then it got revived years later in two different ways. In 1992, they brought it back as they released it to VHS with linking segments with an older Tom Baker as the narrator. And it's okay, and he just basically narrates what happens in between the footage that they didn't have.
Right.
And they'd filmed a lot more of it than I realised, but as you get towards the end of the six parts, it starts to break down a bit. That footage turned up because they never originally intended to air it. When they did The Five Doctors and Tom Baker didn't want to participate in The Five Doctors, they used footage from that. They used footage from that to sort of have his participation in that, but then years later they remade it as an audio adventure with Paul McGann.
Okay.
And put it out as a webcast. But there's also another thing called Curse of the Shulker or something like that, which is an animated thing with Richard E. Grant.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Sort of the unofficial ninth Doctor.
But it's not canon now.
As soon as they cast Chris Eccleston and revive the series, that Curse the Shulker. Okay, so I'm not sure which of the two you were thinking of, but there you go. I'll give an explanation.
I guess both helped anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was. And actually, it's interesting because that webcast with Paul McGann, because he was the default Doctor between 1996 and 2005. So in many ways, he was the longest serving Doctor because he did all these. He's done like 60 audio adventures or something ridiculous in that time. So he is the longest serving Doctor. And he finally got his farewell around the 50th anniversary. So,
Night of the Doctor.
Physician, heal thyself.
Spoilers.
but he, you do realize there were doctors after Paul McGann.
Yes.
So, not a massive spoiler. It was actually not in the 50th anniversary special, it was in a web special that they put out. And I think you were here in the episode where I was going on about it.
Yeah, it was a really good special.
I think at this point I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm almost finished the classic era.
And now that we've gone through that, I'd like to point out that Dave has also now been following the adventures of Doctor Who, but in the modern era.
Yes, and you're almost finished.
Nearly done. Isn't that crazy? Do you remember when we were here, like sitting in the Geek Movie Club podcast?
Hey, yeah, man. It was only a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Where it's like
there's a few episodes. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, like, remember?
Yeah.
And now I'm nearly done.
What is it? You're up to the second half of season.
Yeah, I've watched the special, The Snowman, which takes place halfway through.
Oh, yeah, that's a good episode. Awesome.
That's got Richard E. Grant in it, hasn't it? Is that one?
I think it does,
He's the Great Intelligence.
Which was introduced all the way back in the...
No, wasn't it Ian McKellen?
No, it's Richard E. Grant.
Ian McKellen's the voice... No, you're right. Ian McKellen's the voice of the Great Intelligence. Richard E. Grant is kind of
the
like...
He's the guy.
And that character or that entity was introduced all the way back in the Patrick Troughton years.
Oh, cool.
And it was kind of like watching that after I'd seen the modern one to sort of get that continuity now.
That's why I'm so excited for you to actually go into the modern ones.
Now watch the modern ones with all that continuity behind me now. It'll be really, really
That's kind of crazy because we can keep this segment going.
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, this segment will actually take on a new life when the new season starts. Yeah, yeah, because we will actually do it weekly.
Yeah,
we'll actually talk about each episode as they come.
How exciting!
So yeah, so Doctor Who.
Actually, two minutes before this show we began to record it, I got an email saying that my DVD
got delayed
in the mail. So now I'm going to be waiting another week.
And that's a perfect segue for
actually, Richard. I'm going to drive by yours on the way back.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh yeah. By the way, I've also been watching a bit of Tom Baker as well. I watched the entire I've already watched the entire series that Longo is watching, mm-hmm. the new one. But I've been watching older ones as well. So
excellent.
Yeah.
And that all segues into a little bit of feedback that we have. Ooh. Talking about mail. We got some feedback for this show.
No.
This is from somebody by the name of...
Who wants to marry Dave?
this is from somebody by the name of Jono. And Jono says, hi, fellas. This is actually a little bit of negative feedback. Okay, so we should... No, because it was actually very interesting because he actually said, hi, fellas, just wanted to drop you a note to thank you for your work celebrating the genius that was not Ivan Reitman, but Harold Ramis. Yes. Your thoughts were both sincere and amusing and was much appreciated.
However,
he says, in recent times, your podcast has become more of a naughty version of the Bill and Marty show from The Simpsons. And this
Hot dog, we got a winner.
And this was a pleasant surprise.
Stampy? What kind of name is Stampy for an elephant?
He says, and this was a pleasant change arcing back to the old show many moons ago. Don't mean to be critical, but it's just one opinion in a sea of many. All the best, guys.
You don't get that much, man.
And keep up the great insights and opinions. Just lest wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Cheers, Jono. I will address this and just say that this show isn't Geek Actually or Film Actually. This is our clubhouse, and we do a little bit more. We're a little bit raunchy here, and we do a little bit more crazy stuff, and we're not quite as insightful. But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that we don't get serious every now and again, and we do other things. So yeah, so bear with us. Sometimes we just like to have a bit of fun, and we have.
Oh, take your tampon out, Dave.
and we have talked about over the last few weeks. Actually, we have talked about the fact that Film Actually will probably eventually reemerge at some point as the more serious film show. But that being said, welcome to the clubhouse, Jono.
Thanks, Jono. Actually, it's a really good feedback.
Do you know Jono backwards is Onage?
Wow.
Well, I'm sure he'd be very glad to hear that.
And we are honored to hear from you.
Yes. And on that note, I think we should bring the clubhouse to a close.
Well, we do actually want to mention something very quickly before we go. It's just that I was banging about this a few weeks ago. One of my favorite DJ acts is the Yacht Club DJs.
Oh, yes.
Each year they put out a mixtape. Now that they put out, back in 2012, they put out They Mostly Come Out at Night. Mostly. last year they put out Shut Your Mouth, the Pussycat. Sorry, actually, have I got it on the soundboard here? Last year they put out where is it? Have I got it here? No, I don't have it. They put out Shut Your Mouth, the Pussycat, and Get Me a Macchiato Pronto.
You actually played that 2 weeks ago. How do you not
know? I don't know what I've done with my Macchiato Pronto there, but the other one that they put out this week, and they've only just put it out, is one called Oddity Number 5, which might be a play on Odyssey Number 5, which was a classic Australian album. But hour-long mashup, it's fantastic. Old, new music, it's really, really, really good. If you're not shaking your butt listening to this, there's something wrong with you. But I had to play this little bit because it made me smile when I heard this particular tune that they used in there.
Past a bit of Captain Planet. Come on.
If you want to pick out that, if any of their stuff, they're on SoundCloud. So just if you just search for Yacht Club DJs, and this one's called Oddity Number 5. So if you search for that, you're going to find them on Facebook, you find them on SoundCloud, you find them on their website.
Right.
All available to download. Obviously, they can't release this stuff as an album because it's just full of mashups of other people's work.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
It's amazing stuff, man. And they're doing a tour around Australia in April. So if you're in Australia, go check them out.
Excellent. Very good.
I'm in no way paid or endorsed by them. I'm just a huge fan.
Fantastic.
So.
And on that note, Richard, Where can people find more of you on the internet?
They can find me on the internet, well, on Yacht Club DJ's website. Apparently, I'm obviously spending a lot of time there. You can find me on Twitter at DVDBits. You can find me at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com. You can find me at behindthepanels.net. And that's about it.
Twitter at Dave Longo and damgoodcup.com, which we're going to finally have an article on there.
No.
Yay!
Really? Oh,
I think it's been 2 months.
Content. What a content.
It's going to be a Captain America 2 review.
And Nicholas,
Longo's just dancing to nothing.
Yeah, I just
he can't hear anything. And Nicholas, where can people find more of you?
You can find me on YouTube. Just type in NLM Productions on the YouTube search, or on the web browser, you could type in youtube.com/NickyMcVeigh, and you can find all my brick films there.
And fantastic. Awesome. They are awesome. And you can find more of me on geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh. And I think that brings our clubhouse to a close today. If there's no other business, I don't have a gavel sound still. One day I'll get a gavel. And I think we're going to go out today with a little bit more of the Lego Movie theme. Richard, take us out.
Yes, sir. Forever, let's party forever.